It's the Barry Pod on 99.3 thevine.com.
It's Friday, October 13th of 2023. Joining us now in the studio is Rabbi Niles Goldstein from Congregation Beth Shalom. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
You know, when things happen, we often turn to faith leaders to help us understand it. And this is one of those moments, of course, with the attack from Hamas a week ago tomorrow. What's your current feelings and mood, and what is the feeling and the mood among the congregation at the temple?
Well, people are scared. People are angry. People are confused about the path forward. Last Saturday and in the days afterwards, for Israelis, you know, this was really like their 9/11. That's what a lot of Israelis are saying. I think the number of deaths now is 1,400. 1,400 women, innocent women, men, children, elderly, were butchered in their homes, in their villages, on the streets, at bus stops. Some were decapitated. You know, the news is still coming in. And people don't feel safe. And this was an unprovoked attack. I'm not trying to minimize that there haven't been problems between Israel and Palestinians. There have been problems for decades. But an attack like this that was so horrific and so unprovoked has really unsettled Israelis, and that's an understatement. So the Jewish community here in Napa and around the world is doing what we can to offer support, to provide a show of unity. And we held a vigil here Wednesday night. I got a personal call from Congressman Thompson to see how we were doing. And, you know, a lot of members in our community, Israeli and otherwise, have lost friends over there.
Yeah, it's horrific. We were talking off the air just a little bit earlier. And, if you're of a certain age, there have been so many of these incidents, episodes. I remember the Six-Day War from 67.
67, yeah.
You know, I was just a child, but I watched the news with my dad every night. And so it's like for many of us, non-Israeli, non-Jewish, or whether or not that even matters, it's that moment where here we go again. Here we go again feeling, this ongoing conflict. It must be difficult to accept that status of they're never feeling like there's never a solution to this problem. How do you cope with that?
Well, it's very difficult. I mean, you know, smarter heads than mine have been trying to figure out a solution to this problem for, as I said earlier, decades. Political scientists, historians, NGOs, governments, and it seems to be an intractable problem. From the Israeli perspective, Palestinians don't have legitimate leadership that they can talk to. Hamas is a terrorist organization. You know, one of my pet peeves with a lot of the media is that, you know, they describe these Hamas attackers as militants or as resistance fighters, and they're not. They're terrorists, plain and simple. They slaughter babies. And in terms of the West Bank leadership, they have, you know, someone who's been in power for years and years and years. So from Israel's perspective, there's no one to really negotiate with. But I understand from the Palestinian perspective, you know, Israelis just keep building settlement after settlement in the West Bank, for example. And how are they ever going to have a two-state solution? So it's really an intractable problem. I'm not a fan of the current Israeli government at all. But successive governments that have been less right-wing than the current one have also struggled to try to find peace. And, you know, there was a glimmer of hope with the Oslo Accords 20 years ago, but the two-state solution still seems very far away.
That's really well said. There's been some reaction among some sectors in American society that it's been being called out pretty aggressively, I would say, for inappropriateness, for people saying, as I was relating this to Kara May earlier, this reaction of, well, you brought this on yourself, Israel, right? And I'm sure you're reading and hearing some of that,
yeah,
too. How do you respond,
yeah,
to that?
Well, like any geopolitical crisis or problem, it's complicated. This is complicated too. But to blame Israel for, you know, thousands of terrorists entering Israel's sovereign land and slaughtering, butchering people, decapitating people is absurd to me. I mean, of course Israel plays a role in this conflict with Palestinians, and it goes back, you know, decades to 1948 to the founding. But to blame Israel for an unprovoked attack by a terrorist organization that the United States has labeled a terrorist organization for many years, same with the EU, is just absurd to me. You know, and it may belie some anti-Semitic impulses. You know, Hamas is very clear that they're an anti-Semitic organization. And in their charter, they say that there should be no Jews who live from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. You know, that what does that mean? That's genocide. And they've already tipped their hat, you know, in a very horrific way about what they would do if they were able to. So they don't want a two-state solution. You know, I'm sure there are some moderate Palestinians out there who do. I know there are, but Hamas is not one of them.
And a lot of commentators and people who you know, report on this situation and work in this field will point out that Hamas is only a tiny percentage of Palestinian people, and that many of the Palestinian people may in fact be sort of hostage to Hamas. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good, well said. I mean, we know there are something like 150 Israelis who are being held hostage right now in tunnels underground somewhere in Gaza, and God knows what's going to happen to them. But yes, the people in Gaza, the Palestinians themselves, are being held hostage by this leadership. Hamas has controlled Gaza since, I believe, 2007. And they're not doing their people any favors. They did nothing to advance the cause of the Palestinian people by butchering innocent Israelis. They could have spent the last 15 years developing infrastructure, businesses, all kinds of things in Gaza, and instead, they worked with Iran to get missiles and build tunnels and you know, plan operations like the one that we saw last weekend. You know, that's what they're focused on, not helping their people.
Yeah, certainly does seem that way. So for concerned locals who want to do something or talk to someone or express their sympathies or whatever the case may be, what do you recommend in regard to the temple and your congregation?
Well, there are a lot of organizations out there that are offering relief that you can donate money to. I would encourage people to just go to our website, cbsnapa.org, and some of them are listed there. Also, people here in the community can offer support. We know from statistics from the FBI, from the Anti-Defamation League, anti-Semitism is on the rise. And anti-Semitism will probably grow even more intensely as a result of this conflict with Gaza and Hamas. We had probably 200 people come to support us at the vigil on Wednesday night. So friends of the Jewish community here in Napa can just show their support, you know, offer their fellowship, speak out when you see anti-Semitism. Don't be passive. Those are some ways that you can help. You know, give money to Israel or just support the local Jewish community. We have armed guards. When we started this after the other massacre in Pittsburgh several years ago, when 11 Jews were killed just trying to worship also on a Saturday morning. So since then, we have had armed guards whenever we get together to pray. I'm in close touch with Napa PD. I'm a chaplain with the police department. They've been great in terms of offering us support too. But what kind of a world is it that we live in where Jews can't gather and pray without having armed guards to protect us? So I think just being visible supporters of us is really important too.
Rabbi Niles Goldstein from Congregation Beth Shalom. Carol May, anything?
Yeah, and this crisis situation, like many crises, brings up so many big emotions: fear, outrage, sadness. What is your recommendation? How do we manage and move through these emotions and, you know, being able to do something where we don't feel so helpless?
I think it's a good question. You know, I don't know. I mean, I myself am very nervous right now about what happens next in Gaza. If Israel does invade on the ground, which it looks like it will, a lot of innocent Palestinians are going to be killed. Mm. And that concerns me very much as a rabbi and as a citizen of the world. On the other hand, I understand that Israel has to act for a multiplicity of reasons. I think we just need to be resilient. You know, we don't know how this is going to unfold. We don't know what's going to happen next militarily, diplomatically. So I think the key is just for all of us to be resilient, to roll with the punches, to try to stay calm in the middle of this storm, and to lean on each other for support. But it we're in a really dangerous point right now geopolitically. There's concern about another front opening up in the north, in Lebanon, and with Hezbollah, another Iranian-backed proxy militia. So, you know, these are scary times, and I'm not quite sure what the answer is other than to just be resilient.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Thanks
to you. Thanks to both of you.
You're listening to The Berry Pod, tastings from Wine Country Live in the morning.
On 99.3, thevine.com.